Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network. You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel M. Hiccuping Daniel M. And here's Todd Atkins.
What?
Yeah. We'll see how this episode turns out. I've been fighting with them since the morning, and it's just my kids are like,
"You've really had it like all day."
Yeah. Yeah. There you go. I mean, for at least like 6 or 7 hours.
You know, there was a guy that had hiccups for like 60 years or something.
Oh, shut up. I don't want to hear about that.
No, since he was like from the time he was a kid until he died.
Yeah.
And I don't know like how he slept or anything, but.
Yeah, I just have to stop thinking about it, which is going to be hard with the way this episode is going. But you know what? Okay, so what we're going to do on today's episode is we're going to put a little bit of a pause on the mini series that we started last episode on 568, the last one that we were together on, in order to answer a couple questions that came in. So, I mean, honestly, this mini series that Todd and I are going to do, it's about 6 or 7 episodes long. So, now's the time to put a little bit of a pause on it to, especially since this episode is, the question that we're going to answer on this episode is a follow-up. All right. So Chad Smith sent in this question. It was a follow-up question from episode 564. So let's listen in.
Hello, Daniel. My name is Chad Smith. I'm an entrepreneurial church planter from Denver, Colorado. And my question is in regard to episode 564, where you talked briefly about the innovative and strategic teams that you created at our previous church. I would love to hear more about that and how they interacted with each other and the rest of your teams at the church. If you've already talked about them in other podcasts, just point those in my direction and I'll be happy to read or listen. Otherwise, I look forward to hearing from you. Thank you.
All right. So I'm glad Chad sent in that follow-up question. So we'll give you a little bit on where the idea came from and how we ended up implementing it, more or less what it looks like right now, not what it looked like pre-COVID. So when I was moving back up to Beulah from Lifeway, I was actually in a lot of conversations with Kevin Peck at the Austin Stone about what their leadership structure looked like and how they did all that. And he has an organizational health team, a movement innovation team, and like a strategy team among his elders, right? So obviously his polity is a little bit different than my church's polity. But as I was looking at why he was doing what he was doing, the thing that really stood out to me was how he looked at his team and it was like, okay, based on your gifts, based on your strengths, based on what your greatest contribution is, how about we put you in a team where we can leverage that gifting and leverage the strengths of that gifting and have conversations that are in and around that with that team. So what I did, these are among his elder team and their leadership teams for him. So when I was looking at, okay, contextually, what does that look like for us in our context? I was thinking more along the lines of a cross-departmental, a cross-campus sort of work group where essentially I was trying to get away from the whole lead by committee sort of feel, right? So when you think about a traditional leadership team, when you're smaller, in a church plant, there's that idea of, okay, everyone is full buy-in to, you know, we're all going to help each other in each other's areas. But as you continue to grow and scale, you eventually get to this point on your leadership team where it's very departmental. And it's very like, okay, I'm leading youth ministry, I'm leading kids ministry, I'm leading groups ministry, I'm leading, etc. And you kind of, it inevitably happens where you get around the table and you're like, okay, I'm going to lean in this conversation, I'm going to lean out in that one, I'm going to lean in and lean out. And there's this sort of committee feel that develops on your leadership team, especially because you're trying to be representational. So what we did at our what we've implemented at Beulah is, you know, I have a small executive leadership team, but what we've done with our two work groups, and I'll just, I know I'm rambling on for a bit, but what I've done with these two work groups is I've installed them as extensions of our executive leadership team, that where each of them are actually cross-departmental, cross-campus, so we're hearing from all levels of our staff and of our leadership team.
I like that a lot. I mean, how do you think that scales across different size churches? I mean, does that kind of a thing work with both staff and
lay-led? Yeah. I mean, I think that's a great question, because when you think about a church of 100, right, or a church of 50 or 100, I think the tendency is, especially with that context, size context, is like, okay, we're going to just get everyone in the same, you know, we're a band of brothers or a band of brothers and sisters, and we're going to lead this together, and we're going to be involved in everyone and everything. But inevitably, it just becomes ineffective, right? Because to bring every decision, everything to everyone, it doesn't make sense. So I think in a church of 50 to 100, it would be interesting. I would say, as the lead pastor, you would then identify, okay, who are the two or three or four really strategically minded individuals within the congregation? And who are the two, three, or four innovative minded individuals in the congregation? And I would just say, hey, this is not your board of elders. These aren't even your deacons or staff. I would say let these two groups be your advisory, where an advisory team, where you're saying, okay, you know, we're working on this really strategic thing. I'm going to bring it to that team. And you have now surrounded yourself with people who are highly competent and highly functional in strategic things. And then on the flip side with the innovative. So when you think about it from that perspective, there in each of these sizes, regardless of what that size is, you're able to essentially lean on the expertise and lean on the God-given talents that God has given these people. And when you get like 3, 4, 5 people who are incredibly innovative or incredibly strategic separately in a room, it's like fire, man. I mean, it's just so energizing in terms of the things that are thought of.
So practically speaking, can you break down the nuts and bolts, like kind of overall, and then maybe in one ministry area to talk what that looks like?
Yeah. So honestly, I think this is one of those concepts that work church-wide, and whether these teams are full of within a church plant volunteers, or whether within a multi-site side it's staff members, or there's a mix between some staff and some lay individuals. The biggest thing to take away from this idea is to create these work groups or these think tanks who are going to be really thinking far ahead and catalyzing your ministry forward. So I'll give you an example. Okay, the movement work group within our context, they focus on the reach of Beulah. So for example, they're strategizing with our exec team in regards to what future multiplication looks like within our context, right? So for example, I brought to them, hey, here's where our city is going for as they grow from 1 million to 2 million. What does that mean for our multiplication initiatives and what it looks like for us to grow and reach this city? That's the team that I'm starting the conversation. I'm starting those conversations at this work group. And then from those conversations, right, I'll then bring it to my leadership team and our elders, right? On the flip side, for the strategy side, I'm bringing to them questions in and around depth, right? So the movement, the innovation side, it's reach. And the strategy one, it's more around depth. So with them, I'm talking about, okay, how do we cultivate the overall spiritual health and depth of our church? On the movement side, yeah, I'm thinking, okay, what are scalable initiatives and structures to move our vision forward? When when we get to that next scalable size, not the one we're at right now, but the next one. Whereas for the strategy one, I'm saying, okay, when we get to that next size, how do we make sure that spiritual health and depth is increasing, and how does it look differently at that next size compared to now, right? So what, and you know, the movement side, I'm thinking, okay, yeah, we have our leadership pathway, and you know, we're not talking about the nuts and bolts of our leadership pathway, our pipeline at the movement work group, and I'm not necessarily talking about the nuts and bolts of our discipleship pathway at the strategy one. No, our departmental leaders, our ministry leaders in charge of those areas, they're the ones that are operationalizing that. What I'm doing in these two work groups is essentially saying, what's next? Right? A year from now, 2 years from now, what do we need to be doing now to prepare for then so that we can continue to disciple and equip the saints for the work of ministry, right? So essentially what I'm doing is, as lead, I'm not looking at, okay, I'm just going to, in my mind and in isolation, think about what's next in the next year, 2 years, 3 years alone, and not necessarily at the elder level yet, because there's stuff that I need to work out in my mind, right? There's stuff that I'm praying through. There's stuff that I'm reading. These two work groups essentially become those think tanks for you to bring in early on, to have perspective outside of your own perspective, so that as you wrestle with that, then from there you can bring it to your leadership team and then to your elders or your deacons.
All right, I like that. I know from a scalability perspective, like Beulah is a larger church, and so when you're putting together these working groups, is there a set leader that is always in charge or always leading, or does that rotate? Because I can remember, you know, when we got to like three campuses and then five campuses and then, you know, up from there, that we ultimately, shortly after three, had to implement working groups, but we also then had to make the leadership rotate, at least in our context. So what does that look like?
Yeah, it is interesting how you can leverage an idea like this within different contexts, right? So, I mean, honestly, I would say until you're at a size where you're hiring an executive pastor, I would just make sure that the lead pastor is leading both, right? And allow this to be your think tank and confidants and aides, in a sense, where these people are helping you think through, their partners in thinking. The way that I've designed these two, they basically have 1 year terms. So every year we're putting different people on them so that we can continue to broaden out. And in a sense, it's a little bit of a leadership training ground for me to see, to develop those who are a part of it, and to help them to have real closeness with them, right? And that opportunity to read together, to learn together, to think together. Because, you know, when you think about it from a leadership pipeline perspective, it's just a great opportunity for exposure and to connect with people in that way. As you get larger, I mean, for me, within our size, I'm continuing to be a part of both of these, but I actually have one of our executive pastors leading one of them and another one of the executive pastors leading the other, but I would actually remain a part of them because I want to really be close to and think through these concepts along with other people.
Cool, man.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, hopefully my hiccups weren't that much of a distraction. I know they were bothering me. So thanks again for listening in. And what you'll notice is we do batch record. So hopefully this is the last one with hiccups, but who knows? All right. Well, thanks again for listening in, and we'll catch you next time.